Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. How many enjoyed the presence of the Lord so far? Amen. Thank you so much, amen, for the praise team. And we just thank God for his goodness and his mercy, and we just love him this morning. How many know it's all about him, isn't it? Amen. And I tell you, the quicker we learn that, the better off we will be. Amen. And just thanking God for what he's done and what he's accomplished. I want to be talking to you this morning, ministering this morning, on a subject that God has really been dealing with my heart about, our true identity in Christ. You know, how many know that we always want to identify with Adam? Well, I better move this out of the way, okay? All right? You say, well, what do you mean? You know, we all come from Adam. We got to identify with him. But how many know that we don't have to identify with Adam any longer? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know Jesus came to bring what? The good news. Amen. So the good news is that we are not Adam's brothers and sisters any longer. You say, yeah, I believe I am. But one guy told me, I said, man, you know your identity? Yeah, I'm a sinner. I said, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus, but I'm a sinner. I said, well, hold in. Let's talk about this right here. How many know we're not sinners any longer when we accept Christ? Amen? We're not saved by grace, but we're yet still sinners. Amen? No, we're not. We're saints. Amen? We're sons and daughters of God. Amen. So we have to understand that I want to share with you this morning that what God has really been dealing with my heart about is, John, you got to align yourself with your identity in me. Okay? Because our identity is in Christ. It's not in things. Sometimes we think, well, my identity is what I do. You know, and it blows some people's minds when I told them my identity is not a pastor. My identity is not based on what my income is. My identity is not what society say I am. My identity is not my house, what I possess. Sometimes we think, well, because I possess something, that makes me who I am. But not really. Your identity can only be found in Christ. Okay? And see, and what Christ really did for us, I'm telling you, you know, I hate to use this term, but can I just tell you the way I feel it? Is it all right? He will blow your mind. Amen? It will blow your mind when you begin to take on who Christ, the identity of Christ, amen? Because it gives you such a confidence in the Heavenly Father and his love that he has shed it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, amen? It will cause you, amen, when you go through something to look at it in a different lens, amen? It will cause you, amen, when you're all alone, you're not alone. Why? Because you know he with you. Amen. And I'm telling you that when you know who you are, amen, it don't matter what the devil say or anybody else. I know that I know that I know. Amen. And that settles it, okay? So if I get a little excited, I am excited. Why? Because I'm learning who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. And I know whose I am. Amen. When I have to, you know, let me slow down and just share this with you. But when I begin to learn this, it does not make me exempt from going through things. You know, and it makes me realize, John, what you're going through is just a preparation for something greater. Amen. It's growing you up more like Christ. Amen. It's causing you to be more like him. Why? Because it's squeezing you into that mold of who I wanted you to be from the foundation of the world. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we think that what we got learned in school when they told us that you'll never amount to anything. You're not going to make anything out of your life. Amen. But I'm telling you, you're looking at somebody now that the devil is alive. They might have said that to me in school, but I'm telling you, God has a purpose for this old fellow here. Amen. And I have locked in to who he created me to be. I'm not a Mitchell, but I am a Christ follower. Amen. I've been redeemed. Oh, glory to God. I'm not the same person I used to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I was listening to Sister Gina and them this morning. You know, I wasn't eavesdropping. They was just talking. And they was talking about stories, you know, and she was sharing, you know, I like the stories that's real, what I went through. How many know we all got stories to tell? Amen. You know, but what we have to understand is that we got a better story to tell now. Amen. Sometimes we only want to identify with the old man. But how many know we can brag about the new man? That's on the inside of us, that's shaping us, that's forming us, that's causing us to be Christ-like, that's causing us, amen, to excel in the things of God. It's him. See, I can do nothing apart from him. He's in me, and he's for me. See, you know, I can only share what I went through. I was praying a couple of weeks ago, and I was saying, God, you got to help me. You just got to help me. How many ever prayed that before? God, you just got to help me. And I'm telling you, I heard the voice of God on the inside of me say these words, I have given you the helper. Woo! Glory to God. I have given you the helper. So many times we forget about the helper. He's in us to help us. We're not alone. And guess what? He said he will be in you forever. Whatever you go through, he goes through. Oh, let me get to my message. But I'm telling you that blessed me. You know why? Because I found myself saying, God, you got to help me. But then in my mind, I said, oh, I got the helper. Yes. See, he's in me to help me. See, but so many times we have condensed him to a shout, to a dance, and that's okay. That's okay. We get excited. But guess what? He's more than a shout. Yes. He's more than a tongue. He's more than a goosebump. Amen. He is the Christ on the inside. He is the other, the same one, the one that walked. He's in form of the Holy Spirit, and he's inside of us, empowering us, amen, to live a life that's victorious in this earth. Amen. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's in us, and he come upon us for others. Say, but I'm just crying, Lord, help me, and don't realize he done gave us the helper. You know, did you not realize that Jesus said these words, it is to your advantage. Look at your neighbor and say, we got an advantage. Now let's finish that. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, he won't be able to send him back. But if I go away, I will send him unto you, and he will be in you. and he will talk in you, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. And he will bring back to your remembrance what I have said unto you. Amen. And he will break and destroy yokes that the enemy has brought on people. Why? Because of the anointing of God. Amen. And how many know it is the Holy Spirit that anoints us to do the works of Christ? It's his Spirit. It's not my education. It's not my money. It's not how well I talk, but it's how well do I commune with him. When I get alone with him, when I get in my closet with him, when I pray to him, amen, I come out like Superman, amen. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through him. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror through him. Not in John. I've lost my identity. Now I'm a new creature in him. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Why I want to hold on to the old when I can have the new? Come on, church. There's a new thing, amen, and it's already happened. It was prophesied. There's a new thing, but how many know Jesus is the new thing? We see the evidence of it. He has already come. He's in us. Our identity is not in this world. That's why we can't allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. That's why Paul said we got to be conformed in our thinking. We got to change the way we think. We got to think the way Christ told us to think. We got to be who Christ told us to be. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. Amen. He's the one that's doing the work. Amen. How many know he's the one that's leading me to change? Okay. I'm about through. Nah. Wee, Willie. Oh, no. I'm just getting started. Amen. See, don't give me, just give that to Jesus. Amen. Why? Because he deserves it all. Amen. Any good thing you see in John, it's because of what he's worked in me. I'm telling you, I know better to try to take his glory, amen? And this is what's happened through generation. God began to move, and how many know man want to take his hand and begin to make it look like a merchandise? But how many know God is not trying to puff up the church, amen, to begin to just to be glamorous and glorious and try to get people turned on to a certain individual? How many know that God is looking for the church to rise up and begin to reflect him in the earth? He's looking for the church to rise up and begin to say, had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be today? Amen. He's looking for the church, amen, to rise up and begin to reflect him. Not this building, but the ecclesia, the called out one, the one that has been separated. And this is why that things are getting tight now. Why? Because the real church is going to stand. Amen? The church is not in trouble. People trying to say, the church is in trouble. No, let me tell you something about the church. Amen? The church don't consist of mortar and bricks. Amen? The church consists of Jesus Christ. Amen? The death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? The one that hanged on the cross and resurrected on the third day. I mean, you know, that's the church that he's looking for, that the church that he has purchased by his blood. Amen? That's what he's looking for. And how many know Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Some said, you're one of the prophets. Oh, you're John the Baptist. Some prophet. Then Jesus looked at him and he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Who do you say Jesus is? He is the Christ. Say, He's more than just a need supplier, amen. He's the life supplier. Hallelujah. He's the life supplier. And Peter said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus looked at him, and Jesus said to him, he said, blessed are Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but that my Father who is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And see, a lot of people struggle with that. There's some people saying, well, you know, that was Peter. Peter's the one that the church is built on. No, Peter wasn't the one the church was built on. It was the revelation he received, amen, that the church is being built on. And that's why the Bible says that we can receive nothing except for the Spirit, amen, reveals to us. Why? Because it's foolish to the world, but to us, amen, it is the power of God. It is the Word of God coming alive in us, amen. So what the church has been built on is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is why the devil don't want us to preach Jesus. Why? Because that name, amen, began to cause him to tremble. Why? Because Jesus defeated him. He stripped him. And now the church, the revelation of who he is, the revelation of who he is. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we will know what's been freely given to us. We don't have to work for it, amen? It's been revealed by the Spirit. And when you get a revelation, what the revelation does to you and I, what the revelation does to you and I is it makes us so solid that whatever the devil says cannot stop the revelation of Jesus Christ. But catch this, you have to speak it. And this is where I believe the church is afraid. Well, what if we speak it and nothing happened? It ain't up to you to make it happen. He told you to speak. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. What are you saying? Oh, me. Every time I put one step forward, two go backwards. Oh, me. I'm never going to get out of this predicament. Oh, me. I never will be able to mount to anything. Come on, come on. That ain't what you need to be saying. He is a high priest of our profession. And that word profession, what it means is confession. And what the word means is we need to be saying the same thing that he say about us. What do he say about you, John? I'm his beloved. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm blessed. Not just material things, but I've been blessed with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. And guess what? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Do you realize my elder brother done took care of this for me? And all he's doing now is saying, come on, brother, catch up. Look what I did, brother. Look what I did. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, brother. And as we learn from him, we'll begin to act like him. The revelation. See, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the heart of man, those things which God has prepared for us. And we stop right there. But there's another part of that verse we need to catch. But. But he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. See, have God ever revealed something to you and you acting about like I am now, just all over the place, happy, and you tell somebody and they say, You know why that happened? Because it ain't been quickened to them. See, and it's not for us to look down on them, but it's for us to just let it reflect out of us and let them see it. Because sometimes they don't catch it. Why? Because God didn't give it to them at that time. But see, sometimes, and it's okay to rejoice when those things happen, but it's not to rejoice, it's to conform us and empower to live a life that reflects him. See? And this is the Christ that we preach. This is our identity in him. Amen. That we live out of our identity in him. Amen? Okay. Now we can go to the scriptures, right? Okay. Thank you, but I tell you what, it's him. Amen. All right, okay. Let me give you some scripture on some of this that I'm talking about, all right? Maybe we can put some perspective on it. Is that the right word? Yeah, okay. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I think I gave it to Miss Lynn, okay? And we'll get on with this word, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This man done preached three messages, and now he's getting ready to preach another one out of the scripture. That's all right, amen. How many know it's all good, and it all comes together? He puts the puzzle together. Okay, you have it? It says, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Now, I want to tell you something about that word, S-I-N. We have to really study it out, you know, because sometimes what that S-I-N means, what it's referring to is spiritual death, but also the old man or the sin nature, okay? It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death. How many know that God told Adam, he said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you what? Die, surely die, okay? And because Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, he brought what? Spiritual death on what? All people, all human race, okay? Did Adam die immediately? No, he didn't. He died what? Spiritually first, and because he committed a spiritual sin, it results in bringing natural death, okay? Because had Adam not partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would have lived forever just knowing God. Think about it. And don't get mad at Adam, because Jesus is going to help us out, and then we can only blame ourselves, not Adam. Entered into the world and death through sin. Through what? The sin nature is what brought death when Adam disobeyed. So death spreads to who? All men. Because we all have what? Sinned. And people would pull this scripture out on you. Well, you know, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But do you understand what that means? What it really means is this. We all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God because Adam didn't complete what God had intended for him, and it was what? Shortened. Why? Because of sin. Because God had a purpose for Adam, and that purpose was what? To produce after his kind. But when he disobeyed God, he caused sin to come into the world, and instead of living by revelation from God, he started living by information. What he could receive through his soulish man. So when Jesus came to the earth, guess what he had to deal with? Soulish men. And they had sense knowledge, but they didn't have revelation knowledge. Sense knowledge is based on what I feel, what I see, what I touch, what I taste, all these things. And how many know those things have to be what? Exercise unto what? Righteousness, so we will be able to discern between good and evil. My feelings is not a curse. My emotions is not a curse. It just need to be put in the right order. Okay. Because of sin, all right? For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. In other words, that the law will cause us to have what? Accountability. Okay, let's move on. Nevertheless, death reigned. That word reign means to rule as king. To rule as king. And guess what was ruling over us? Death. Death, okay? From Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who what? Was to come. And who is that? Christ. But the free gift is not like the transgressions, for if by the transgressions of the one, many died. Much more did the grace of God, the ability of God, the endowment of God's power, the grace of God, and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, the Bible said the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. And the grace that he's given, some people say, well, we got grace so we can live any kind of way. No, it's the opposite. We got grace, now we can live powerless over sin. Grace gives us the power and the ability to do what we can't do in the natural. And it is a gift. It's not something I work for. Thank God for the gift. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. On the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. See, you know, when we get in condemnation, how many know we're identifying with Adam? Well, what do you mean? When we go in condemnation, you know, we all are in condemnation. Romans 8 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. For the spirit of life in Christ have made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, glory, hallelujah. See, it's made me free. See, and had that been a law that could give life, they wouldn't have had to have the law. But see, what the law did, it brought condemnation. The law put us in bondage. But Jesus come to do what? To justify us, to declare us innocent and righteous. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, okay? Much more those who receive what? Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign, okay? Will reign in life through who? The one, Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is rule over my life. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. See, I've changed partners. I've changed daddies. I've changed brothers. Why? Because I'm not in condemnation. I've been justified. I've been declared righteous. How many know it is a gift of righteousness? It is my position in Christ. Amen. It's not my works of righteousness, but it's my position in Christ. And my position in Christ says that what? I'm in right standing with him. Guess what? I'm in right relationship with him. Amen. And when I'm in right relationship with him, because I'm in right standing with him, how many know there is a good relationship between me and the Heavenly Father? Why? Because we are not at enemies anymore. Why? I've been reconciled to him. Okay? Is that okay? So what happens here is the gift is free. You don't have to work for it. You don't even have to fast for it. It's free. When you repented of your sins, it started with your born-again experience. Okay? Is that all right? Okay. Let's go. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, when we're in him, he's reigning over us. And because he reigns, guess what? We reign. And that reign, what it really means is this. If you look that word up, it means to rule as king. And see, let me tell you some good news. I want some good news. He don't want nothing reigning over you but him. He don't want money. Because sometimes you know what people will do? Because they got a little money, they think they can reign over you. But the devil is a lie. We're not ruled by money. We're not ruled by people's opinion. We're ruled by the word of God and Jesus Christ. Amen? How many know people got opinions, amen? But how many know when it comes down to the word of God, your opinion don't mean nothing. I got an opinion too. Yeah, you do. Repent. 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 I can't believe he said that to me. Yep. Repent. Change the way you think. Amen? So he want to reign over us. Can I just give you just a little bit of a nugget? Quit and allow things to rule in your life that God hasn't put there. Sometimes we let people rule us more than we let the Holy Spirit do. How so, Pastor John? I come to you. And I say something to you, and it didn't sit well with you. And I keep telling you who you are, what you can do, and it don't sit well with you, but you weren't it all week long. What did you just do? You gave me power to control your week all week long. Now, if it's a godly counsel, I mean, you know, we need to listen. But when it's not godly counsel, we don't need to let it rule in our life. We say, not here, not today. And especially the accuser. He'll accuse you and tell you, well, you know, look what you did. Look what family you came from. The devil is a lie. Amen. How many know we all got a story that we can tell where we came from, but how many know we need to be telling the world where we're going, where we've been. We've been in the presence. And let that be there. Talk about it. You want to talk about it. See, but he don't want nothing. See, we think, well, you get free from drugs. How many know? Yay, praise God, you get free from drugs. You get free from this, free from that. Yay. But how many know that God is wanting us to be totally free from that sin conscious? Okay? All right. Now we're getting ready to find out here. Boom. Ah, you like that? They wasn't a finger, wasn't a finger. Okay. Now that we realize he told us we were identified with Adam, but Christ came and justified us, amen, freed us from Adam, amen, by grace, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? No. You know, there are some people read this, and their interpretation is this. Well, we need to sin a whole lot more so we can get a whole lot of grace. That ain't what Paul's saying. He's not trying to get us to sin more. Listen to what he said. May it what? Never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And the word sin there is not my deeds, but it's the sin nature. See, if you research that, it is a noun. That word sin there is a noun. And how many know a noun is a person, place, or thing? So what Paul is saying here, he's referring to, is the sin nature. The old man. We'll get to that in a minute, okay? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into what? His death. Now, I know some people say, well, this is talking about water baptism, but I believe Paul is talking about the spiritual baptism, a spirit baptism. Because, see, you can get baptized in water, but it won't change you. See, you can get immersed in water, it won't change you. And people get upset when you tell them, when they come to get baptized, and they you ask them, well, why do you want to be baptized? Well, I want my sins washed away. How many know it won't wash away your sins? Ain't but one thing that will wash away your sins, and that's the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. See, it's his blood, glory to God, that was shed on the cross for you and I. That set us free from sin. The cross. Therefore, we have been what? Buried with him through what? Baptism into what? Death. What death is he talking about? The death that Jesus Christ died. I mean, you know, he died for our sins and he died to our sins. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I'm righteous because of him. Therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That word newness of life, walk in freshness of life. Freshness. Have you ever been, well, we had some hot days here lately. Amen. Have you ever felt a cool breeze just breathe over and it just, whoo, that felt good. How many know can't nobody do that but Jesus? Amen. How many know he can air condition the whole world? Amen. And just that little breeze coming, you, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the newness of life is the freshness of life. Amen. I mean, you know, he come to give us life and it more abundantly. Amen. God wants us to have life. And guess what? He has given us what? His life. Zoe, his life, the great life, the highest life, amen? It's not in cars, houses, money, and all this, amen? Life is in him. And people are, how is life treating me? It's treating me great. Why? Because life is in him. It ain't in the world. For we have become united. In other words, we're united with him. We've been joined to him, with him, in what? In the likeness of his death. Certainly, we should also be in the likeness of what? His resurrection. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Knowing this, that our old self, who is the old self? The sin nature, amen, was crucified with him. Let me tell you something. What he did, amen, when he died to sin, guess what? He was doing what? Paying the penalty for sin. He's paid the penalty for it. Check this out. He's taken away the power of it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just couldn't help myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How's this going to work for you? Huh? Well, you know now, we all human. Oh, okay, watch out. Knowing this, you know, and that's another word for knowing is that when we experience this, that our old self was crucified with him. Now, let me share with you how powerful this is. The other week, I was just, you know, have you ever been tempted to just flush out, okay? I was tempted to just flush out. And because I was meditating on this, immediately, this is what came to my mind. How can a dead man react to that? Let me flush out. Let me get my way. How can a dead man get his way? And guess what? When that was spoke to me, it empowered me to just humble myself. Well, it don't work like that. Try it. Thank you. Practice it. Try it. The next time you begin to, you feel yourself, that temperature rising and you about ready to explode, just remind yourself, now you dead. You shut up, you dead. But now here we go. Let me resuscitate this threat. Oh, boom, there I am again. No, you dead. Okay? When he was crucified, I didn't know that the sins of the world was on him. Quit trying to resuscitate him and remind him that he's dead. Now, just because we're dead, I didn't know we live in a fleshly body, and Paul said it this way, that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You got to realize your flesh would try to what? Resurrect itself. But you got to remind the flesh you dead. Woo! Crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be what? Done away with. So that we no longer be slaves of sin. Remember, Jesus said these words. He said, the slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son does. See, now that we're no longer slave to the sin nature, but the Holy Spirit has came in, and John, I think it's 14:16, says that I will pray the Father, and he will give you another what? Helper who will be with you forever. See, for he who has died is free from the what? Sin nature, the power of sin. Jesus have taken care of it. Now we're trying to figure out, well, why do I want to sin? Because you got a flesh. And your flesh, whether you realize it or not, have an appetite. But the flesh, you don't lay hands on the flesh. Well, let me just go to the altar and get some hands laid on me and cast this thing out. You can't cast out the flesh. The flesh have to be dealt with at the cross. He have to be what? Crucified or what? Denied. Resist him. See, it ain't the sin nature, it's my flesh that I got to crucify it. I got to remind John, you're dead, son. How can a dead man want to kill somebody and he's already dead? Woo, Lord, this right here might get me in trouble, Pastor, so watch out for me. Don't let him shoot me, okay? But the greatest test, this will be test, is when you're in marriage. Woo! Holy moly! You mean I gotta, oh, Lord. I think I read somewhere where it says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Amen? And what did he do for the church? He gave himself up So gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, it's a good time to practice when you married to die out, to remind yourself, I'm dead. Amen. Now don't let it linger around. You got to mean it. I'm dead. Because if you ain't, you're going to die then. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can tell, hey, I've been married 48 years and I'm still learning. That tells you something, okay? All right. So you just don't get it and think, hey, I got this down pat. Let me tell you how to work it. No, brother. Let me tell you how to die. Okay? And I think, Pastor Terry, we need to insert this in our marriage counseling. You know, before you get married, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? That's all I'm asking. What do you mean ready to die? Okay, let's talk about this thing. Amen? Okay. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we should also what? Live with him. Amen? Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. For the death that he died under what? Sin once for all. How many know he's taking care of the sin nature? See, and let me tell you something. This is why people, you know, that when people say, you say, well, why can people don't want to just get saved? Because, see, they need to see the realness of Christ in us. See, but if they don't see the realness in Christ in us and they see us acting like them, I mean, you know, they're thinking, well, you know, what's the difference between them and us? Why? Because, see, we understand that the sin nature has been dealt with. The penalty has been paid for. Amen? The power has been broken off for us. Okay? I didn't give the scripture, but I'm going to have to. In John 1 and 33, when John seen Jesus, he said, He baptized with water, but there's one standing among you that's going to baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. See, and we've been baptized into Christ. See, for the death that we died under sin once for all. He did that. But the life that he lives to who? God. Amen? So we live our life through him. The Bible says, for it is in him we live and move and have our being. See, it's in him, not in this contemporary stuff that people are trying to say, well, you know, say these things three times and you're going to see victory. Amen? No, the victory has already been won. I just got to come in alignment with what he's did for me. I need to identify with this. Why? Because that's who I am. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay, even so, consider, now this word consider here is powerful because in some translation it says even reckon, but right here in this one, this is the NASB, it says consider yourselves to be what? Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. See, when Christ rose, guess who got up with him? We did. Amen? When he say he's holy, guess what? We're holy. Amen? When he says I'm righteous, guess what? You're righteous. Why? Because everything that we are is out of him and through him. See, he said, because I live, you live. Is this making sense? Okay. But let's look at this word. Back up one second. There you go. Thank you. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Now, one translation says, even so, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. Now, let me give you the definition of this word. Reckon is translated in a Greek word that is used 41 times in the New Testament, 19 times in Romans alone. It appears in Romans 4 where it's translated, count, reckon, or impute. Reckon means to take into account. Take into account, okay? To calculate, to estimate. The word impute, to put to one's account. Consider yourselves dead according to what Christ have done. How many of us, hell, I don't know, go to your bank account and you might see a little bit more money than you thought was in there. How many of us done that before? Okay. So it was put in there, right? So what you got to understand about the reckoning, what he's saying is, it's already been put to your account to have life. You're dead. Reckon yourself to be dead to what? Sin. Reckon yourselves to be dead to what? Sin. Okay? So that what that word is saying is this. And to reckon means to put to one's account. It simply means to believe what God said in his word is really true in your life. Just believe it. Say, but do you realize the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, the blood of a heifer, all these things could not do away with sin. But Jesus shedded his blood one time, and he cleansed us from every sin. Every sin. Even so, consider yourself dead. Okay, that's good. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't let sin lord in your body, in your mortal body, so that you will obey what? Its lust. See? You got, why? Because the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. See? Some people think, well, if I can just get rid of the devil. No, honey, just die out to the flesh. Okay? Because the devil's been taken care of. Jesus handled that for us. Now, he comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what did it say? Resist steadfast in the faith. James said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Done deal. Amen? God is good. I'm going to have to stop here. I stop. Okay. Did you get anything? Okay. Praise God. Amen. Now don't clap for me, because I'm in this just like you are. I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm maturing. Amen. Just like you are. But all the praise go to him. Why? Because it's a finished work. He has completed it. Amen. And I'm gonna stop right there because I keep going on and on and on. Okay. Is there anybody in here that has not accepted Jesus Christ? If you haven't, what we just talked about today, you can be free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of drugs, whatever is trying to hold you back from surrendering your life to God, you can be free of it today. Amen? Yeah. Amen? All you need to do is just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Amen? I don't want to leave nobody out. Okay. So what you're telling me is this. You have accepted Jesus Christ. Okay? So now we are dead men and women walking. Your identity now in him is you died with him on the cross, but when he resurrected, you resurrected. Amen? Okay. All right. This is what we're going to do before we turn it over to the announcements, okay? I want you to stand, and we're going to declare who we are, okay? All right? Can we do that? All right? Now I'm going to stretch your legs a little bit now. Just kick them around. Okay. Oh, yeah, stretch a little bit. There you go. All right. Say, I am
a new creature
in Christ Jesus.
He has risen me.
He has set me
in the heavenly places.
Therefore,
I can come to him
boldly and get grace
and mercy
to help me
in the time of need.
He's with me
and
he's for
me.
In Jesus' name,
receive it.
Amen.
know about you guys, but I ate good. Thank you, Chef. Serving up the goodies this morning. We just got a few announcements real quick. First and foremost, we want to acknowledge something. And the Bible says, give honor where honor's due. Amen. One of our founding elders, Harold Coffell, passed away Saturday, July 4th. So we want everybody to pray for Diane and the family. And as you see them out and about, just let them know that they're cared for. Because what a wonderful family and a wonderful man. So just want to make sure we love on them. A couple announcements before we go. Baby Sprinkle next Sunday, July 19th, immediately following the service in the foyer right there. So make sure that you come and love on those folks and sow into them and give. And then lastly, Back to School Splash at Forest City Pool, July 26th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. If you are a teacher in here, you're an educator, you work in the school system, you're a student, we want you there because we want to celebrate what God's going to be doing for you in the coming year, all right? And pray over you, amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's go out there and walk like dead men. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this word that you've given us through Pastor this morning, that we are the righteousness of God. We are identified as you. It's no longer our story, but your story in us. And we know we can do all things because you are strengthening us to do all things. And so we ask you to go before us and let us walk out the destiny you've got in front of us this week, this month, this year, and for the rest of our lives. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.